We couldn't meet last time. You hear me, Navaja? We couldn't meet last time due to a camp which has been going on for the last 1 week. It started last Sunday. It is due to be completed this evening. And I had to be away. I had to talk to them on the general idea of the synthesis of yoga which we are doing. Now, among the questions they had raised, I thought one or two would be of interest to you, because these questions have been asked again and again and have occurred practically to everyone who has thought about the subject. One question was, if and when the supermind is fully organized, will the whole creation be supramentalized? What will happen to the various levels of creation that we see today? Will all of them be perfected and all will be supramental? Obviously, the answer is, it is not going to be so. A new dimension will be added. A new gradation will be added to the various gradations of the creation. There are various levels of consciousness, of the forms of consciousness and the functionings of consciousness. And when the supramental is properly organized, one more level will be added. But it does not mean ipso facto that all will be supramentalized. Just as the fact that there is a mental level, there is a mental humanity, has not eliminated subhuman or submental types, submental orders of creation. Evolution will continue to be there, doing its grades. And since creation is a continuous process, all the levels of life will be there. Those who want to be supramentalized, for them the possibility will be real. But one important difference is the very fact that the supramental grade is fixed on earth and functions will have its indirect effect upon all grades in a more pronounced manner than the establishment and working of the mental grade has had. This plenary force of truth and knowledge and oneness which goes with the supramental consciousness will definitely weaken the hold and rule of ignorance, limitations and division. The forces of disharmony will be contained, and there will be a general uplifting of life, a more definite establishment of the movement towards oneness and harmony, a more pronounced movement towards love and unity. But this does not preclude the continuation of the lower orders of creation, though their evolution will be expedited, the course will be more speedy, but they will not be eliminated. I believe there are one or two letters of Sri Aurobindo on the subject in the book Letters on Yoga, saying that the whole of humanity will not be supramentalized, though directly or indirectly they will be influenced by the establishment of the supramental consciousness. The second question was, again, what has been asked so often. People have taken one remark of mother that it may take 300 years for the transformation to be complete. They said, that means it is not going to happen in our lifetime. The facts are that once mother asked Sri Aurobindo, what will be the time needed for the transformation to be complete after the supramental consciousness has established itself, after one has opened to the supramental and the supramental consciousness has descended into a person, how long it will take for the transformation to be complete? Because the transformation has to means a total change in every cell in the body, and we know there are millions of cells. Sri Aurobindo said 300 years. Now this 300 years is not to be taken as a mathematical period of years. It just shows that a considerable length of time will be required for it. Even if you take 300 years literally, which you can't by any stretch of imagination, mother said also, but there is that incalculable factor called grace. So, grace being there, things can happen, may happen in 30 years, may happen in 30 hours also, we do not know. So there is no rigid finality about these figures, and if we depend upon our effort alone, the time required is considerable. The effort required is stupendous. But if we depend upon the grace and on our side hold ourselves in readiness, that is what Sri Aurobindo describes, build up the state of grace in us, one can never know or say when things can happen. These were the two among the many questions that they had asked. I don't think anything else of interest here, Ron? I don't think.
When mother said about this, Pakistan and India will become...
That question also was, came there.
In 10 years.
That also. Mother explained that when she asked him, is this final, this division between India and Pakistan? Sri Aurobindo said, certainly not. How long do you think it will come? He said, 10 years. It was just a casual reply, meaning it won't be long. It won't be long. Just as 300 years means it's not going to be immediate. It won't be long. And he also said later to Munshi that the union may not be formal but likely to be pragmatic. That is, the existing forms may continue, India as such, Pakistan as such, but there will be cooperation and joint action in certain key areas like military, finance, foreign affairs. That means the practicalities of the union will be affected. And things did happen within 10 years. That was when the old setup was changed by the coup d'etat of the military. Military was taken over, the old order was changed. That means some movement for change was precipitated from above, but it was contained by the adversary. And the expected change did not materialize. But things are gathering momentum and proceeding in the expected direction even at present.
When supramentalization goes on, one or several persons may become ready for a certain amount of transformation, then they may die. How does it affect the next generations?
Every advance registered in a human body becomes a permanent possession of humanity. Those persons may die, but what has been affected in their body, achieved in their body, becomes a permanent possibility to others. So that is a gain for humanity. That much has been achieved and established. That means the nature has yielded to that extent. So anyone who makes an effort thereafter can achieve what has been achieved already. Just like inventions, discoveries, the person who does it, he may die, but what he has discovered, what he has achieved, all of us are going to draw upon. So any movement, progressive movement done in creation is never lost. It becomes a permanent gain, so that the next person really proceeds from that point onwards. The evolutionary spirit takes up from the point where it has been left before. And naturally, when those people who have arrived at a particular state of evolution, when they take birth again, they won't have to start from ABC again. They will continue from the point where they have left.
But for the others, it has still all to be worked out.
But that possibility is there. Otherwise, even if you try, even if you strive, you can't get it. But once a person achieves it, there is that possibility permanently done. Like solving a mathematical problem. Once it is solved by somebody, that much is done. Everybody doesn't have to start from ABC, isn't it?
Or it is just like a beaten path, you can go.
Yes, exactly. Then, last time we were speaking of the supramental instruments, and the chapter being long, we stopped somewhere in the middle or after 2/3. To recapitulate what we discussed, we spoke that all our faculties, all our mental and life powers are truly distant projections of the workings of the supermind. Behind every movement of our mind, body and life, there is the impulsion of the secret supermind. And when we speak of supramentalization or the supermind taking over and changing our life, it means that all the faculties that we exercise today, they will be uplifted, changed into their supramental terms. Not only all the normally active faculties of the mind and the external nature, but even the subliminal powers of which we are not conscious. The supramental consciousness will bring out these latent and occult powers from the subliminal, normalize them in our nature, and add its own touch, give its own character of truth and will to these latent powers. So all the powers that are embedded in man stand a chance of being uplifted and rendered into terms of the supramental faculties. The highest faculty that man has developed so far is that of ideative knowledge in the mind. Pure knowledge, not knowledge loaded with considerations of practical life, but knowledge for its own sake, what is called jnana in Sanskrit, or ideative knowledge in English. These two will be rendered, because even then it is mental. Even though the thoughts that move, the ideas that move in that belt of ideative knowledge are true, or some of them are true, they are the best, the highest that the mind can receive and express. They are not totally true. There are some limitations. Which are inescapable as long as we function through the mind. Now, the normal thought action of the mind, we noted, has a triple motion. There is what is called the habitual thought mind. The habitual thought mind is what is accustomed to receive the data collected by the senses, pass judgments, and build some knowledge, thought knowledge, upon that basis. Thoughts revolve around these conclusions, these sense experiences, not only our own, but in the environment. Then there is a part of the habitual mind which is open to new knowledge, new ideas, but always they are made to flow into the mold of the previous knowledge. This is more or less mechanical. We accept certain ideas, certain thoughts, repeat them, and whatever new knowledge or experience we gain, we give them that coating, the habitual old coating. This is called the habitual mind. Then there is the pragmatic idea mind. We get ideas, we get thoughts, but we never evaluate them or assess them in their own right. We immediately relate them to our needs of life, what they mean for life, how far they can be translated into practical utility. And this is what is called the pragmatic idea mind. Higher than that is what I said, the pure ideative mind, where ideas and thoughts are received and considered in their own value, irrespective of whether they can serve life or not. But for their own knowledge content, they are pursued. These are the three grades of mind: habitual mind, the pragmatic idea mind, and the pure ideative mind. All these three are there in developed people, people who are growing, but they conflict with each other. They may function simultaneously, trying to seize a situation, they may conflict with each other. And ultimately what we do may be a mixed action or a mixed judgment. But in the supermind, all the three will exist, but in a coordinated movement. There will be no obstruction in their functionings, because the supermind is in possession of the truth of things, and the mind will not be obliged to lose itself as it does today in the heights of the ideative regions. When the mind is pulled up in our present state above a certain height of the ideative mind, exposed to the vastness of consciousness, to thoughtless peace, for instance, the mind tends to lose itself, lose its identity. But this will not happen in the supermind, because the essential truth of things is always present. Secondly, the pragmatic element also will be there, but it will never be the deciding factor. It can be an instrument, it can be a link between the higher consciousness and the life mind. Even the mechanical movement, habitual mechanical movement, will change its character, but the movement will be there. There will be, instead of the pure ideative mind, pragmatic mind and habitual mind, what Sri Aurobindo calls an order of thought, a cycle of will, and stability in motion. This habitual mind movement is really an expression of what nature strives in order to bring about stability in a flux. By constant repetition, by constant habitual movement, a kind of stability is introduced in a situation full of flux in life. So this is, that habitual mind renders itself as an instrument leading to stability in motion in the supermind. What is called the pragmatic mind becomes cycle of will. It is the will that decides. And the ideative mind becomes an order of thought. All these will not be based or derived from lower nature, but from higher nature, whose foundations are above, not below. Again, in our mind, there is a play of three elements. The life mind, or what we call the mind embedded in life, there is the intuition and there is the reason. Reason is the bridge between life mind and intuition above. All the three are interconnected. Intuition has to be organized by reason and then communicated to the life mind. Similarly, the impulses of the life mind have to be assimilated by reason and then submitted to the light of intuition. So all these three will also continue in the supermind, but in a coordinated action based upon unity. Only reason cannot be an absolute power that it claims to be at the human level. It can only act as a link. Further, we noted that human reason in the normal mental functioning has an outer field, nature, outside, an inner field within ourselves, then other beings, what is happening to them, how they react to us, and then within ourselves or within nature, there is the occult part of nature, occult part of ourselves, which starts with the self. All these will continue the process also will be the same, namely gathering of data, arrangement by the reason, and then arriving at judgment. The necessity for more precise action leads to the development of reason, to the faculties like intuition, which are above it. Helping reason, mental reason, is memory. Memory, as we noted, is not only what each individual remembers, but it also means the race memory. Memory, not only artificially recorded in histories and literature, but something that has sunk in the consciousness of the race, and which comes to the forefront when we will to know it, or when the situation demands, nature pushes it ahead. So this memory, which is playing a particular part in the mind, plays a greater part in the supermind, because memory, meaning also the cosmic memory, the earth memory, there is nothing that cannot be summoned from the past. Similarly, not only the past, there is also, when you are at the self level, the level of the inmost being, what Sri Aurobindo calls, there is memory of the pre-known, what is going to happen, because somewhere it has been decided, and to the self which is behind, what has been decided already, what has happened already, they have the same relevance. It sees what is going to happen, and that is projected in the memory as the memory of the future or the memory of the pre-known. And there is the power of imagination, which helps, which does play a constructive part even at our level. It plays a greater, an interpretative part, and a role of summoning many possibilities into the field of actualities. Judgment, imagination, memory, all these which help the human reason have a larger and a greater role to play in the supermind. The supermind lifts up the reason, converts it into the supramental reason, but the procedure it adopts is not that of the normal human reason, namely collecting of the data, arrangement of it, and then coming to a judgment. Because even without, the supermind may use this process, but it is not bound to it. It has got its own means. It can use the contact of the senses, the thought contact, without the necessity of outer senses. The subtler sense can contact the object. A thought can contact the object directly without even seeing it. But more than that, the supermind, being in possession of the truth of things, it has only to will to know. And the knowledge is self-evident. It does not have to move through our procedures normally. It may do it, but when it wants, it can know directly, because it is in possession of the knowledge by identity. I have only to think of an object, only to have a thought of an object with a view to having this knowledge, and that knowledge becomes present to my mind. The supramental reason acts. Its way of action is described by Sri Aurobindo as subjectively objective. That is, even when we are subjective, there is a certain objectivity about it. That is, it is not colored by our subjectivity. Within ourselves, the knower can observe objectively. Then there is the universal consciousness, without which the supramental consciousness cannot come. And that consciousness being always there, there is an undercurrent of oneness with the known. Observation is a movement to bring out the latent knowledge. But observation even, contact even, in the normal sense, is not indispensable. It can provide a bridge of connection if we need it. But there is a state of the supramental consciousness where no such bridge is required. There are three movements of the supramental reason, and that is, the knower projects himself and knows the object, or the object emanates its knowledge to me and I know, or simply by supramental cognition. I want to know a thing, a will to know, or a will to be known is enough. A will to know in me or a will to be known in him, that is enough to make the knowledge present in my mind, rather the supermind. Again, the supermind is not analytical in the mental way. There is a direct seeing. It does not need to assemble the various forms, multiplicity, and say totally, this is the one. There is a simultaneous presence of the truths of unity and the truth of multiplicity. Both are present. The mind does not need to remind itself that this multiplicity is a projection, a many-sided projection of the unity, or while living in the multiplicity, to say that all of us constitute that one. There is a simultaneous awareness, cognition of unity and multiplicity. Similarly, physical forms, the supramental mind, the supramental consciousness knows the gunas or the qualities or the moods of each form, in what proportion they are active, what is the nature or grade of consciousness that is active in each form. And this it can know by identity or by wanting to know it. And the knowledge of the supermind is not confined to the physical plane, but to what happens on other planes also. The human mind, the human reason, is confined to the domain of the physical. But the supermind is simultaneously aware of all the planes of existence. For judgment, the supermind does not need to get evidence, to get data. It is its own evidence. It does not need to assemble material to arrive at judgment. The judgment is spontaneous, natural. And even what is called logic at the human level has a place in the supramental consciousness. And that is, logic in its transformed role links knowledge with knowledge, organizes the different placements of knowledge, because though essentially all knowledge is one, For purposes of manifestation, the knowledge may organize itself with different stresses. Now a stress on one aspect, now a stress on another aspect. And the supramental logic comes in to coordinate, to link up the various placements of knowledge. There are still higher ranges of knowledge above the supramental reason, and they are ranges of knowledge essentially based upon identity. And Sri Aurobindo adds that as long as there is still an undercurrent of mental working, all that has been described will not be absolute. It is only when the supramental consciousness or the supermind functions entirely unpolluted, undiluted by the mental elements, that things are in this strain. But till the mind is completely transformed, the lower we come, the more diluted the action is likely to be. The higher we go, the nearer the action is likely to correspond with this description. Mind has various grades. There is a part which is always restless, agitated, running about. There is a part which is practically occult or subliminal, which is quiet, which is receptive to larger vistas of knowledge and all that. Now, what he means is, the frontal part of the mind, which is normally agitated, in movement, that has to be silenced, so that the deeper part of the mind is free and can develop. After all, the main part of the mind which develops is not on the surface. We are not conscious whether mentally we are developing or not, because we all live, 90% of us, on the surface. And this surface mind has to be quieted and silenced so that we can become aware of the deeper mental consciousness evolving, and not only become aware, but open ourselves to its action and participates in its growth. So unless that is done, it is a simultaneous process. One makes the other possible. Bye.
At this point, the 5 minutes of questions and answers were missed.